Good morning. Good morning, Blog Talk listeners and my Run for Christ Ministries family. It's Saturday, and that means it's time to go to school. So let us open in prayer this morning. Father, we thank you, and we do praise the name of Jesus because he is so worthy to be praised. We thank you, Father, because you loved us enough to send your son not only to die for us, but to redeem us, to restore us back to your intended means, Father. You intended for us to flourish. So right now, as we go through these lessons, we just want to look and see Jesus and see what he did and how he has paved the way for us. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Good morning, good people.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. We pray everybody has got their sheet. Continuing in every week, understanding more and more, it's not just what we believe, but why we believe what we believe. And our focus has been God is in control. I mean, when you just look around between the weather, politics, world events, I mean, we've had coups taking place in the world, war, rumors of war, all these things. Mm-hmm. It would look like that this thing is out of control. But if we understand what God's plan is, what God's plan has always been, then we'll realize that throughout history, that in every situation, every time, things look bad. But we recognize it's coming to a perfect end where we will see God completely in control. But right now, we have to just trust and know that he is. Prayerfully, would you open? I got people that are interrupting my household early in the morning. Would someone answer this question for me? What does God's kingdom look like? Or what is God's kingdom supposed to look like?
Go ahead. I'd rather you go. Let me get my notes right now. I wrote it down. I'm coming in a little late, y'all. Just a couple minutes. Okay. Now, the question was again, Janice.
What is God's kingdom supposed to look? What does God's kingdom look like? What is the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God look like on earth?
Okay, that's God's reign in the world as he intended it to be in the beginning. And it's supposed to involve family, and we'll be supposed to become nations, but instead, you know, we went the opposite way and became empires.
Mm. Okay. So there's a special word that it's our word for the year. What is everybody intended to do?
Flourish.
Flourish. All right. Somebody read that definition, because if we don't remind ourselves of what we're talking about, somebody might join in and say, I don't know what they're talking about.
A person, animal, or other living organisms to grow or develop in a healthy or vigorous way, especially as a result of particularly favorable environment.
All right. Thank you. So we are to flourish. And the environment is supposed to be one in which people can flourish. That's what God intended from the beginning. And because God intended it from the beginning, that's the way it's supposed to be. But we know, of course, because of the falls, sin, death, all these things entered into the world. So what kind of world did Jesus come into? What was the world like?
A Roman Empire with impalements and oppression.
Okay. What? So as we are looking at our sheet, we're studying the miracles of Jesus, and we're beginning to understand how the miracles of Jesus are antithetical. They're against empire, because empire, she said, is dominated by violence and oppression. And then we notice this world that Jesus is coming into is full of sickness and disease and oppression and possession of demons. This is the world Jesus has come into, and also a world of scarcity, of lack. All right. So with that being said, let us get back into, I'm going to ask another question real quick. We talked about sickness and disease in the beginning, and the miracles that Jesus performed where he healed different people. He healed lepers. He healed lame, blind people. We know, if you know all the miracles of Jesus, are familiar with them, he touched all kinds of people. What was it about sick people and dead people that the Old Testament law said? What were they considered?
Unclean.
Unclean. That's the word I was looking for. Unclean. But when Jesus dealt with sick people, what did he do?
He healed them.
He healed them. All right. But in healing some of them, what did he physically do?
He touched them.
He touched them. So if unclean, if people are unclean when they have these conditions, and then here comes Jesus, and he's touching unclean people, why didn't it render him unclean? Somebody got a lot of background noise going on.
I always wondered that. I figured it was because he was God.
Yeah, it was his sovereignty, his holiness, his being God.
Okay, go a little deeper.
Okay,
y'all gonna make me go to the scripture. Go to Isaiah chapter 6. And somebody read verses 5 through 7 of Isaiah chapter 6.
Chapter 6?
Yes.
Verses 5 through 7. Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, your sin atoned for."
Okay. So here we have the picture of Isaiah, and he's in the presence of God. He's seeing God, and he recognizes that he is what?
Unclean.
Unclean. Because, of course, when you're in the presence of God, it's like when you step into a perfect light and you're wearing black, you see all of the little white spots of lint on your clothes. So it's the same thing. When you come into God's presence, when you come into the presence of holiness, purity, you realize how not holy and how impure you are. So here we have Isaiah, where he's in his presence, but he's unclean. He recognizes it. But a seraph gets a coal. A seraph, who is a holy being, because the seraphs are the ones who are around the throne, and they're created. They worship God all day long. And the seraph touches Isaiah, gets this coal, and touches Isaiah's lips. In other words, something pure touched something impure.
Mm-hmm.
And it rendered the impure thing pure.
Oh.
I'll say that again. something pure touch something impure, and it renders the impure thing pure.
Mm-hmm.
So now when we come to Jesus, yes, he's God, but he's God in the flesh, so he's just like all other human beings. But the
mm-hmm.
difference is Jesus is what?
Pure.
Jesus is pure. He's holy. He's unlike any other human being. He is without sin. So when one who is impure touches that which is, one who is pure touches that which is impure, it renders it
pure.
So when he touches the leper, he didn't get thrown out and have to not go to the synagogue and not be in the congregation. When the woman with the issue of blood touches Jesus, even though she was unclean, she didn't make him unclean. His cleanness, his purity, made her clean.
And I just wanted to ask about that. I was going to bring that up when the lady touched his clothing. Did he feel his something coming out of him going into her?
Mm-hmm.
He said he felt power. His power.
Okay.
That the Holy Spirit he felt an exchange, and it wasn't in the sense of where he took on, you know, but I'm getting a vision of, if you've ever seen The Green Mile, go back and look at The Green Mile again, the movie. It is amazingly parallel to the story of Jesus. But anyway, he felt something. He said, I felt, some translations say virtue, power, something of himself. In other words, he felt a response of faith in her, from her, that drew something from him. We don't get the exact thing. We just know something. He knew something was different about this touch. So it wasn't that she rendered him unclean. It was just he felt somebody of faith touched him. That's the way I can describe it. Because, again, we don't get a whole lot of exchanges where we see something happen to somebody. And anyway, my mind is racing now because I'm just getting visions of Green Mile because I brought it up. Anyway, go back and look at the movie if you have a chance. All right. Why did I bring that up? Because it's important that we understand Jesus, and I'm glad you point that out. Jesus is 100% God, but he is also 100% human being.
Mm-hmm.
But he is 100% perfect human being. He is the way God intended, created all humanity to be in the beginning, before the fall. That is why when we say Jesus without sin, we have to understand. So now we're understanding why Jesus was able to do a lot of the things that he could do, because God could do them through him, because he didn't have this barrier. He didn't have this impurity. We know God worked through other people he did healings and miracles, but remember, they were operating also under the power of the Holy Spirit as well. Get back to the lesson. Just a little side note when we're dealing with this. Okay, so we talked about Jesus healing demonic possessed people, demonically possessed and oppressed people last week, and we started on lack. And we know one of the things empire brought is taxes, high taxation, where the people give all their wealth to the leadership or the government and get very little back for it. And then Jesus dealt with it by paying taxes. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, give to God what belongs to God is another exchange that takes later on when the Pharisees try to trap him about paying taxes. You know. So, and then we stopped last week. I know we read Mark chapter 8, verses 10, 1 through 10, but I want to pick up there again because we're going to read a story that's similar to it in Luke. So let's go to Mark chapter 8 and somebody read verses 1 through 10.
It reads as follows. About this time, another large crowd had gathered, and the people ran out of food again. Jesus called his disciples and told them, I feel sorry for these people. They have been here with me for 3 days, and they have nothing left to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will faint along the way, for some of them have come a long distance. His disciples replied, How are we supposed to find enough food to feed them out here in the wilderness? Jesus asked, How much bread do you have? 7 loaves, they replied. So Jesus told all the people to sit down on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves, thanked God for them, and broke them into pieces. He gave them to his disciples, who distributed the bread to the crowd. A few small fish were found, too. So Jesus also blessed these and told the disciples to distribute them. They ate as much as they wanted. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 large baskets of leftover food. There were about 4,000 men in the crowd that day, and Jesus sent them home after they had eaten. Immediately after this, he got into a boat with his disciples and crossed over to the region of Dalmanutha. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, sis. Okay, so now we have this miracle, and how many people, men, not counting women and children, were fed?
4,000.
All right. So we got 4,000 here. Now let's take a look at, we got to see where this is happening at. If you go back in Mark chapter 7, somebody read verse 31, and we'll get an idea of where Jesus did this miracle of feeding the 4,000 plus. Mark chapter 7, verse 31. Somebody read that.
Jesus left. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Aaron. Go ahead.
No, wait.
Jesus left Tyre and went up to Sidon before going back to the Sea of Galilee and the region of the 10 towns.
Okay. So the region of the 10 towns, they call this the Decapolis. In some translations, you'll see it. Now let's see how well you paid attention in other classes.
Oh, did you say metropolis?
Decapolis. 10,
okay.
10, Deca,
okay.
10, Decapolis.
Okay,
right.
Decapolis, okay.
Now, and this is the Sea of Galilee. I told you before, there are two sides to the Sea of Galilee, right? Remember I said there's the west side and there
uh-huh.
is the east side. Something happens as soon as Jesus gets out of the boat on the east side. What happens?
Is that when the people rushed him?
Has something to do with some man living in a strange place.
Oh, the guy that was
possessed by demons.
The possessed by demons.
He was possessed by demons.
And how many demons? What was the name? What is the demon?
Legion,
for we are many. All right. Remember I told you
many.
The east side. Some of you might remember from previous lesson, the east side, the Decapolis, this is Gentile territory. And this is strange because Jews don't go to the Decapolis. Jews don't go to the east side. They're pagan. They're Gentiles. So the Jewish people don't go to the Decapolis. But here Jesus gets on a boat and goes over to the Decapolis, right?
Okay.
Okay. So where is he at when he performs this miracle, feeding the 4,000 plus?
In the Decapolis.
In the Decapolis. In Gentile territory. There's scholars that argue about this, but most scholars agree, especially people who've been to the region, that this is where this miracle takes place, in Gentile territory. All right? So we got this one. Now let's go look at the parallel to it. Luke chapter 9, and somebody read verses 10 through 17. And I'll show you something. When I first heard it, blew me away.
When the apostles returned, they told Jesus everything they had done. Then he slipped quietly away with them toward the town of Bethsaida. But the crowds found out where he was going, and they followed him. He welcomed them and taught them about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who were sick. Late in the afternoon, the 12 disciples came to him and said, "Send the crowds away to the nearby villages and farms so they can find food and lodging for the night. There is nothing to eat here in this remote place." But Jesus said, "You feed them." "But we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Or are you expecting us to go and buy enough food for this whole crowd?" But there were about 5,000 men there. Jesus replied, "Tell them to sit down in groups of about 50 each." So the people all sat down. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up toward heaven, and blessed them. Then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread and fish to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterward, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. Amen?
Okay.
Amen.
So now, here Jesus is in the town. What's the name of this town?
Bethsaida.
Bethsaida. Okay. And there are couple of the disciples are from this area. Peter and his brother Andrew are from this area. So this is definitely Jewish territory, right? So we back on the west side. According to the chronology, this miracle precedes the miracle of the 4,000. So on the west side in Jewish territory, Jesus feeds 5,000 plus.
All right.
So how many basketfuls did they pick up on the west side?
12.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Mark. I mean, y'all got
12 baskets.
Okay. They picked up 12 baskets. All right. Now go back to Mark chapter 8. And you probably know what question I'm about to ask, but I'm going to ask anyway.
4,000.
How many baskets did they pick up on the east side with the 4,000 people?
Seven.
So now we know these are two separate miracles, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Now let's think. Let's get our historical Jewish thinking on. What's significant about the number 12 to Jews?
That's the number of the tribes?
The
number of tribes.
Right.
The 12 tribes, right? 12 tribes of Jacob, his sons. All right? Now, anybody know, we know, what's the number significant about the number 7?
Completion.
Yep.
Completion. All right? So now Jesus has done a miracle, the same miracle on the east side, on the west side,
with
the Jews, and on the east side with the Gentiles. In the Jewish territory, 12 tribes. We know in the end, there are 12 gates to the kingdom. There's 12. 12 is very significant to the Jews. It's like their number of completion. But the number 7 is pointing to the nations. And he did the number, there was 7 left over in Gentile territory. So what does this say about Jesus with these two miracles? What is he doing?
Bringing the two together.
Or what is,
showing
he's
he got
bringing
power
the two together.
Over.
Yeah. Oh, we can stop class right there and go home. Because it's showing that the kingdom is not just for the Jew, it's for everybody. There's this phrase that I learned. It's called Tikkun Olam. Tikkun Olam. For those of you who are writing copious notes, it is spelled T-I-K-K-U-N T-I-K-K-U-N, that is Tikkun, and Olam, O-L-A-M. And the word, the phrase, Tikkun Olam. And this phrase means repair of the world.
Means
wow.
What? Ooh,
so,
that's
so
a good phrase.
So what is Jesus coming to do?
Repair the world. Yeah.
Repair the world because God so loved the
world.
Y'all making your Bible make sense this morning. this is not random stuff. These are not just stories thrown in here for our enjoyment. God is doing something. God is in control.
Yes.
Because what did we say in the beginning? God, Loretta broke it down. So God created a what in the beginning?
A nation.
A family.
A family. And that family would include all what?
All nations.
Wow.
I'm impressing this on us because Jesus came as a repairer. He brought Tikkun Olam to not just the Jews, but also to the
Gentiles. Everybody that wasn't a Jew.
But Israel was very important. We know this. We know the nation of Israel has a great place in God's heart. And they have, and one day we'll do the lesson on the significance of them. But you see, the whole God's plan is to repair the whole, because this is, he created it, and he said in the beginning when he created things, everything was what?
Good.
In the beginning when he created everything,
good.
He said it was good.
He created everything
good. Yeah. So when you create something good, and then somebody comes along and messes it up, when you have the power to recreate, when you have the power to repair it, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we already know God had to scrap it, but he didn't even scrap it completely. He kept some people. All right, get back to the lesson, teacher. I'm just excited because I'm just good that y'all we're seeing. All right. So the lack is part of disrepair. That's not what God intended. Remember, he gave trees. He gave every plant bearing tree and every plant bearing seed and fruit bearing seed. He gave it to the animals and to people to eat in the beginning. There was no lack in the beginning.
No lack.
But because of the falls, because of man's violence and oppression, there's lack. There's famine. And then here comes Jesus. And he deals with lack and famine. Let's get one more in. One of our favorite stories we like to tell about Jesus. John chapter 2. And somebody read verses 1 through 12. T.L. Hughley tells a good joke about this.
The next day, there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, that's not our problem," Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." But his mother told his servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Standing nearby were six stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, "Fill the jars with water." When the jars had been filled, he said, "Now, dip some out and take it to the masters of ceremonies." So the servants followed his instructions. When the master of ceremonies tasted the water, that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though, of course, the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. A host always serves the best wine first, he said. Then everyone has had a lot to drink. He brings out the less expensive wine, but you have kept the best until now. The miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After the wedding, he went to Capernaum for a few days with his mother, his brothers, and his disciples.
Here we have the miracle of what? What did Jesus do? And according to the scripture, this is his what miracle?
First.
This is the first miracle he performed. But what was the purpose of this miracle? Was it to show that we don't want people's party to end or people to be embarrassed?
No.
What was the purpose?
To show that God is in control over time.
Okay, you're on the right track. It's right there in verse 11. Somebody read verse 11 again.
What was the question?
Oh, he was revealing his glory.
To reveal his glory. And it can say his glory. Because who and who alone has glory?
God.
So this was the first miracle to show that. So that he has what kind of power? Is a certain word I'm looking for. Got something to do with the beginning. It's got something to do with the beginning.
Creator.
I mean. Remember, when in the beginning, when God introduced himself to the whole world through the writings, he introduced himself as what?
The creator.
And then here comes Jesus, and the first miracle he does introduces himself as?
The creator.
See, aren't these more than just stories about Jesus?
Yes.
Absolutely.
It's so much more. This is why we need to not just know what, why we believe that Jesus is who he thinks he is. We believe God is in control. We believe it because God has shown us himself that he is who he says he is.
Amazing.
Not just a bunch of little stories that we can't put together. No, God is saying this is his story. This Bible is his story. This collection of 66 books. Talk about him. All right. Let's get into the fun stuff. The next one, since y'all minds are good and blown, and I'm already sitting over here on hype. Matthew chapter 9. Let's look at how Jesus deals with death. Matthew chapter 9. And somebody read verse 18 and 19.
When Jesus saw the crowd, chapter 8?
Chapter 9.
Oh, that's
verse
18
and
19. Okay, I saw it wrong. Okay, chapter 9.
That's all right.
18.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As Jesus was saying this, the leader of the synagogue came and knelt before him. My daughter has just died, he said, but you can bring her back to life again if you just come and lay your hand on her. So Jesus and his disciples got up and went with him. Amen.
All right. Now skip down and go read verses 23 to 26.
When Jesus arrived at the official's home, he saw the noisy crowd and heard the funeral music. Get out, he told them. The girl isn't dead. She's only asleep. But the crowd laughed at him. After the crowd was put outside, however, Jesus went and took the girl by the hand and stood her, and she stood up. I apologize. Then a report of the miracle swept through the entire countryside.
All right. So now we know this story. This is a miracle that happens within in the midst of another miracle. Because in the middle of this miracle, on his way to perform this miracle, is when the woman with the issue of blood comes up and touches the hem of his garment,
okay.
And she's healed while he's on his way, because he's on his way to heal this little girl, to bring this little girl back. So we know this is the miracle of him raising a little girl. Just a little historic input. Notice that the man said that his daughter had just died. Somewhere else it says that while the man was coming to seek out Jesus, she hadn't died yet, but he got word while he was there that she died. Anyway, regardless, the little girl died. But you notice when Jesus gets to the house, the girl just died. Who's at the house?
The people at the funeral.
The people are already there for the funeral. She just died. That's because they did pre-planning of funerals.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
when
if
they found out you were sick, and in that case, you know, it's not like nowadays where we can get them to the hospital and we got all this equipment and all of this medicines and we can do all of this work. Back in that day, it was like, she gonna die. It's just a matter of when. He gonna die. It's just a matter of when. And so when they knew that your relative, especially if you had money, because Jairus, this is Jairus who we're talking about, he's a synagogue leader. So he's in the group with some money. He's got some money. So they would come and they would say, you know, let's prepare. How many mourners do you need? So say they would pay people to come and mourn and play funeral music at your house. I'm glad we don't do that anymore. This is like in good times, Weeping Wanda, the chick that was always crying at all of
when
James died. Yeah, I mean, I remember that. Yep, people, professional mourners, that's the word you phrase you in here, professional mourners. They actually pay people to come mourn. And then the more people you got mourning, the more money you had. But the people would say the more loved you were. Because all these people are here mourning and grieving. Anyway, just a little historical reference. No, nothing's new, y'all. So this is the story of the little girl who died but Jesus raised. All right? We have that one. Let's go to Luke chapter 7. And somebody read verses 11 through 17 of Luke chapter 7.
11 through 17, Luke chapter 7. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country.
All right. So this is in Jewish territory. What is the status of this woman? It's found there in verse 12. What is her position? I know y'all reading it, but y'all reading over it. Let's read. Somebody read verse. Read verse 12. Somebody read verse 12, because we need to know the condition, the status of this woman.
As he approached the town gate, a dead person was carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow.
Okay.
And a large crowd
so what is the status? You can stop right there. What is the status of this woman? She's a what?
She's a widow.
She's a widow, and that was her only son.
And he's dead now. So what does that mean for her?
That means she's out the box.
She's about to be. She was instantly made.
Poor.
You said it. Poor.
No income.
She's poor now.
Destitute.
No income. Destitute. Yeah, all that. No Social Security. No life insurance. No inheritance. Because who inherited everything when the father died? For a
the son. The brother. The son.
The son. And this was her only
son.
So her grief was multiplied. Because what happened is, and they were so off of the Leverett marriage law by this time, that they weren't even doing that. So when the property, when the son died, the property reverted back to the family and to his father's family.
Wow.
So the widow had two choices. She would eat with three. She could either marry again. She could either go home to her father's house if her father was still living or if her brothers wanted to take her in, or she was going to be left on the street to beg, which means she would be open to all kinds of ways to make life livable for herself.
Oh, that's like in the story of Ruth.
Yeah. Naomi and Ruth, Naomi was instantly poor. When her sons died, she couldn't even go home and reclaim. That's why it had to be a kinsman redeemer that bought the land back. But what did Jesus do for this woman? First of all, he said something about how he felt. How did he feel when he saw her?
He was overflowed with compassion.
Overflowed with compassion because he knew her situation. It wasn't just that her son had died. He knew that her life was about to be ruined because the culture was not going to do for her what it needed to do. It was not going to take care of her. Again, her three choices, marry again, unlikely. If she's older, she's not going to have any more kids, so there's no reason to marry her anymore. Go home to her father's house or her brother's, depending if they're still living, if they will even take her in. Or be out in the street.
Hold on, you say if they're willing to take her in.
If they're willing to take her in, because I'm telling you, when Jesus came into the world, people were not following the law anymore.
Okay.
Jews were not adhering to the law. They were adhering to a version of the law or to a commentary on the law by rabbinic teachings and whatnot. And there were some crazy teachings that were being taught. So it could be likely that her family wouldn't take her in.
Wow.
Could be a lot of reasons. Yeah. Where under the law there was a provision, you know, that you had to build up your brother's house and you had a kinsman redeemer, the whole story of Ruth part, that's a big issue in Ruth. Somebody, a close family member, would have to assume responsibility. But these people weren't following the law. So this poor woman was in a desperate situation. So this is why Jesus, did she ask Jesus to raise her son?
No.
She didn't even approach. Jesus approached. He had this predestined meeting with this woman. God designed this encounter where she would be bringing out her son to bury him. Right when Jesus was coming into town with his crowd. Because God is in control. And Jesus is here to bring, here we go, tikkun olam, to repair the world. So this is part of his mission. Because there's a breach here. There's a tearing. There's a destruction here. Let me finish this last one, and then we'll go to John and do the big one. I think we got enough time. We can break it up. Go to John chapter 11, and we're going to look at probably the most pronounced raising of the dead. John chapter 11, we're very familiar with this story. Somebody read verses 1 through 4 first of John chapter 11.
A man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother, Lazarus, was sick, so the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, "Lord, your dear friend is very sick." But when Jesus heard about it, he said, "Lazarus's sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this." So, although Jesus loved Martha, that's it?
You can stop. Yeah. 1 through 4. Okay. We're going to break it up because it's for time's sake. All right. Now drop down and read verses 11 through 14.
Then he said, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up." The disciples said, "Lord, if he is sleeping, he will soon get better." They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant Lazarus had died. So he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there, for now you will really believe. Come, let's go see him."
Okay. Now read verses 17 through 27.
When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." "Yes," Martha said, "he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day." You said the 26?
27.
Okay. Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God." Amen.
All right. Now read verses 38 to 44.
38 to 44. Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb, a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. "Roll the stone aside," Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, "Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible." Jesus responded, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe?" So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here so that they will believe you sent me." Then Jesus shouted, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him go." Amen.
All right. Thank you, my sister. All right, so we know this is the raising of who?
Lazarus.
The raising of Lazarus. There's some things in here. First of all, how many days had Lazarus been dead?
It's 4.
Four. Okay. According to Jewish teachings, mysticism, they believe that the spirit of a person would hover over the grave, over their dead body for about 3 days. And then after that, they were completely dead. So on day four, there's no chance of revival. Now, remember I said this is the teachings that was taught. This is not biblical, you know. But
so that was the purpose of emphasizing the 4 days?
Part of it. Yes,
okay.
That was part of the emphasis because the people around them would have been, they would have been, and one of the reasons, that would be one of the reasons why they would go back to the grave and mourn, just in case he might not be dead. Maybe his soul turned back, came back in his body. You know, so that was one of the things. The other thing,
okay.
This is something I found out that I didn't understand till now. When they wrap the body, they would wrap the body in spices. I always thought it was to preserve the body. The actual process was they would wrap the body to help speed the decay of the body.
Oh, more heat.
So, because the body naturally heats up after death, and the decaying process starts immediately. So when they would wrap it in what they call spices and different things, it would be to speed it up. So after a month, the skin and the flesh would all be gone. It would just be bones. And then after a year, they would come and they would grind up the bones and put it in a smaller box, especially if you had money. And they would put it in a smaller box and put it in your family crypt.
Oh, wow.
So they was kind of like a chemical cremation, if you would, just of a natural way. So if Lazarus is wrapped up in these spices that are supposed to cause his body to decay, by day four, what would happen?
It should have been a skin peeled away and stuff by then, at least some of them.
Yeah. His body, that's one of the reasons why they said when Roback, Lord, no, he's saying, he's been dead four days. Mm-mm. Decaying process is way underway.
Thinking about it. Maggots.
Yep, everything. All body fluids, just a big goo of, yeah. So,
okay,
so even the grave clothes would be saturated with the stuff. Because it would be, the decaying process would have started. But here, Jesus says, Lazarus, come out. And this decaying dead man came out. And because Jesus said, take the cloth, the clothes off, that meant, was he still decaying?
No.
He should have been, but he, no. I think Jesus said that, no.
Yes.
He
restored him back. He was made whole. He was restored back to his natural form. Showing that Jesus not only has power over death, but he had power over decay, all of the effects of death. Why is this important? What was not part of God's intended plan in the beginning?
Say that again, please. Oh, okay.
What was not part of God's plan in the beginning?
Death. Oh, no.
This wasn't what God did not plan on death. God was not, that was not part of the plan. He put, matter of fact, the tree that they could eat of was a tree of what?
Life.
Life. We chose death. And death entered. We chose sin and death entered. But here Jesus again is here to kun olam in the repair of the world. And he showed that he has power over death. All right, y'all. Time to stop. Let's quickly pray. Father, we thank you for for Jesus. Again, we thank you for Tikkun Olam. We thank you that he is repairing, has repaired, brought repair to the world, and right now we are supposed to be participating in the repair of the world. I praise you and thank you for what you have to say to us this day. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you,
Amen.
Gladys.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
And thank you for Tikkun Olam. Yeah, that's a new
Don't
one I learned.
All right.
Amen. Powerful, powerful lesson, and another great lesson, Sister Jansen. We just thank you. Thank you for your loyalty and teaching God's word. We appreciate you and have a beautiful day.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So you know the routine. Just depress the one if you're not participating in the next part of the service. And if you are, just keep your one there. And, you know, just get your coffee, your tea, your cookies, your crumpets, and a piece of Irma's cake, Mother Irma's apple pie. And after this selection, we will start our morning worship service. Amen.
You did not create me to worry. You did not create me to fear. But you created me to worship daily. So I'ma leave it all right here. Help me say yeah. Make me fall. create me to worry. You did not create me to fear, but you created me to worship daily. So I'ma leave it all right here. Trust in, oh, trust in you, Lord. I will put my trust in you.
Amen. I will trust in you, Lord, and this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Running for Christ Ministry Saturday Morning Worship Service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with our proclamation, scripture, and prayer, and at Running for Christ Ministries, we believe is vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our prayer. And we have this morning to help us do so is our very own Mother Irma Miller. Good morning, and thank you for being with us.
Good morning. So glad to be with you. God bless. Amen. And it reads, why we are here, proclamation. We proclaim that Jesus the King preexisted as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as the final judge to rule. Amen. Our reading is coming from Matthew, 6th chapter, verses 25 to 34. Do not worry. Again, Matthew, chapter 6, 25 to 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow would worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Praise God. Our prayer. Lord God, our Father, we ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will participate in this worship service now or later. Father, we thank you today for this opportunity to offer you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that our songs, prayers, and the preached word lift Jesus so that all who are lost today will be found, that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask of these blessings. Amen. God bless and have a wonderful day. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mother Miller, for that. And, you know, we appreciate you and have a beautiful day.
And thank you. I love you.
Love you back. Thank you. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own Shepherd Pastor O. Hey, take it away, Pastor O.
Your name,
call on.
calling on.
Cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. So meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
It gets so hard just trying to figure it out, fighting doubt, trying to believe God, trying to watch the words of my mouth and stay on the ground. Trouble come and go, even on the mountain high or the valley low. Never let your faith go.
Ooh. Never let your faith go.
I've been there before, so confused, don't know which way to go. Stressed out, world so crazy, might as well stay in the house. Fear trying to rise up, got terrorists to sky.
They look like us, but we know who we trust. Just when I say that we gon' be alright, we gon' be alright.
Tell them,
we gon' be alright. Alright.
Say
we gon' be alright.
In these last days, evil times will come, and it's here today. Look at all the hate, senseless crime and murder.
Day.
Human trafficking, racism, police brutality, bullying, rape, trouble, and same.
Shady abuse, the people I pay.
Let your kingdom come, let your will be done
in the earth.
Let your glory rise, let your sun shine,
let it burn.
I love that one. Tell them, we going to be all right. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Ooh, I thank the Lord for another opportunity to serve. This is Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, precious Lord, wonderful counselor, thank you for your grace and mercy and power. Thank you for your patience, faithfulness, and loving kindness. Thank you that you see us and hear us and answer us. Thank you for waking us up again. Thank you that you are willing to listen to new requests, even though you have already provided for our every need. We thank you for the opportunity to come boldly to your throne continuously. We thank you for problems that make us stronger. Thank you for handfuls of purpose. We thank you for wise counselors for family, fellowship, and friendship. Thank you for your word. Thank you for victory over spiritual wickedness in high places. Thank you for lessons learned, for good memories, for a way to go to church without going to church. Thank you for all the provisions and the blessings we have already received and for all those we will receive in the future. We admit that we fall short daily, that we are all sinners that need more and more of your peace. We ask that you cause us to be sensitive to hear your voice and quick to do whatever you ask us to do. We ask for complete healing in the body, mind, and spirit of everyone under the sound of my voice, and especially Darius Freeman. We thank you for the work you are already doing in getting him to the top of the list, especially Deaconess Nicole. We thank you for the work you are already doing on restoring her health, especially for Sister Deaconess Mary and her sister. We ask that you give total healing to them both, especially for Sister Deaconess Lisa, and especially for my husband, Ed, who brought me to this church. We thank you for the work you're already doing on his health and for the progress he has made. We ask that you bless and keep Alex as she leaves for higher education. We ask for total healing for Doris Gaither and all our mothers and all other members of Runner for Christ Ministries and all those inside the body of Christ. We ask that you add a blessing to all those who have and will participate in this morning's service and every person listening. We ask that you bless the preacher to give a message that speaks to and nourishes our inner man. We ask that you give each of us another new revelation and another new understanding of you. We ask that you give each of us the wisdom to do the thing you put us here to do in a way that pleases you. We say yes to your ways and your plan for our lives. We acknowledge that you are the knower of all things, and that you know us better than we know ourselves. So the best choice we could make is to let you be our guide. We invite you to show us the way. We ask for all these things with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.
Overwhelmed, look to the cross. And
Amen, amen. And there we are, reminded that you are here. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you, and have a beautiful day. Thank you. Okay, hey, so far we are having a great time this morning with more to come. I just want to thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Be the reason someone smiled today. Share the love, joy, and the blessing. Amen? Okay, time for the preach word. The best part, icing on the cake. The next voice you will hear following this song selection is our very own man of God, Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate. Prepare to receive Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate as he comes in his own way with the word from the Lord. Let's receive him.
Down on me from the top of my head to my feet. Pour your oil on me, let it fall down on me. I want your glory, want your glory. I want your glory, I want your glory.
Thank you.
the top of my head to my feet. Pour your oil on me, let it fall down on me. I want your glory, want your glory.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for giving us a brand new opportunity to praise you and worship you on this platform of Blog Talk Radio. We thank you, Lord, for all the resources. We thank you for each and every one that's listening. We thank you for each and every one that's participating in this service, Lord. And I pray for strength and encouragement and healing for me and my brothers and sisters all around the world. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to dive into your word. I pray that you would move me out of the way and allow me to be a vessel so that I can present what you've already blessed in your word, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, brothers and sisters all around the world. My name is Jonathan Tate, and I am one of the assistant pastors at Render for Christ Ministries, and I say good morning and greetings as we dive into the book of Amos. And I want to divert your attention to chapter 5, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 8. The purpose of the book of Amos was to pronounce God's judgment on Israel, the northern kingdom, to be specific. And they were being judged for their complacency, idolatry, and oppression of the poor. This was written, it is believed, between 760 and 750 B.C. by a man who was recognized as a man of God, Amos. Amos was a shepherd. He could have easily, tended to, the sheep and provided a living for his family. But God gave him a vision, and in the vision it was for Amos to warn Israel about what was going on and what was ultimately, which was them being, taken over by the Assyrians or conquered, where, they would be turned into slaves. So let us read Amos chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. Hear this word, O house of Israel, this lament I take up concerning you. Fallen is virgin Israel, never to rise again. Deserted in her own land, with no one to lift her up. This is what the sovereign Lord says. The city that marches out 1,000 strong for Israel will have only 100 left. The town that marches out 100 strong will have only 10 left. This is what the Lord says to the house of Israel. Seek me and live. Do not seek Bethel. Do not go to Gilgal. Do not journey to Beersheba. For Gilgal will surely go into exile, and Bethel will be reduced to nothing. Seek the Lord and live, for he will sweep through the house of Joseph like a fire. It will devour, and Bethel will have no one to quench it. You who turn justice into bitterness and cast righteousness to the ground, he who made the Pleiades and Orion, who turned dark blackness into dawn and darkness and darkens day into night, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out over the face of the land. The Lord is his name. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. A really simple, you see a reoccurring theme throughout the Bible with the Israelites, easy for us to place judgment upon them and to say they were a bunch of can't get rights. I would implore you to believe that we who are on this broadcast, whether we're participating in the actual service or listening, we are a bunch of can't get rights as well. And it's true that we are all sinned. The Bible says that, for we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So none of us literally are in position to judge anyone, whether it's ancient Israel or each other today. You see, the reality is that we look to when we have what we think we want or what we feel like we need, more so what we want. And, you know, to be complacent, to be comfortable sometimes is dangerous for us because we let our guards down and we pray less, we read less, you know, the Bible being specific. And we don't focus on a relationship with the Lord, which should be first and foremost in our lives. Typically, that's what happens in complacency. That's what happens when we get too comfortable. We don't need the Lord as much because we have these things, we have these people. I challenge you, brothers and sisters, to look to Israel as an example of being complacent, of getting into, because, you know, you get comfortable in what you have and what you want, and then other things and other people become more important than God, which is idolatry, because we start to worship them directly and indirectly. We seek more comfort in the things and the people that we have and that we feel like we need or want, versus in the very God who sustains your life, in the very God who first loved you, in the very God who saved you by going to the cross in your place. So as we look to verse 1, it says, "Hear this word, O house of Israel, this lament I take up concerning you. Fallen is virgin Israel, never to rise again, deserted in her own land with no one to lift her up." A lament is a sad song. Typically, you know, songs that were sad or sang at, you know, funerals. You know, this is Amos coming saying to Israel, hey, it's not looking good for us. And it goes on to say in verse 2, Israel, fallen is virgin Israel, never to rise again, deserted in her own land with no one to lift her up. That sounds like a situation that's all bad. You know, Amos was, and I'm sure he didn't want to be the bearer of bad news, but he was being obedient to the Lord. You know, and sometimes I was watching a video that I came across, and it was talking about the lifestyles of mega pastors of these huge churches, and it wasn't speaking favorably, you know, of that. And I too have fallen guilty into, you know, the thoughts of being you know, rich beyond, you know, my wildest dreams, and, you know, I see things that I want and whatnot. And to be honest with you, brothers and sisters, to have Christ is to have everything. The material things or the people that I have or the opportunities that I've been able to take advantage of and to, you know, share with, those are all because of the Lord's blessings. So we can't believe that our jobs will keep us whole. I mean, I just read an article where it talked about a trucking company that's laid off 30,000 employees. So your job is not going to sustain you. Your money is not going to sustain you. It's only the Lord. So when we look at what Amos is saying here to Israel, he's warning them that trouble is ahead. And it's because of the complacency, it's because of the idolatry, because of their oppression of the poor. You know, sometimes we're quick to look down our noses when we see people who are in need or see people who have signs up by the freeway or the overpass saying, we'll work for food. But please believe, that could easily be any one of us. One wrong move, one left turn, one bad decision, whatever it may be, we have to understand that the Lord is in charge. The Lord runs the show. And we need to seek him first. And then everything, all these things, if we seek in the kingdom, and not just seeking the kingdom, but being an active participant in the kingdom, as the kingdom expands all around the world and in your home and in your community, within you. Amen. Verse 3 says, this is what the sovereign Lord says. The city that marches out 1,000 strong for Israel will have only 100 left. The town that marches out 100 strong will have only 10 left. This is what the Lord says to the house of Israel, seek me and live. So again, Amos is warning them because of this is what the Lord says. You can send out 1,000 soldiers to protect you, but only 100 will be left. So that other 900 will be wiped out. You can send out 100 soldiers. It'll be 10 left. So in each situation, the Lord is telling them, yeah, 90% of who you send out. So basically, you can't avoid this trouble that I'm sending because this is what you invited. When you were being complacent, when you were engaging in idolatry, and when you were oppressing the poor. But he goes on to say, because I love how the Lord always provides a way out, even when you're going through trouble, because we're going to go through trials and tribulations, we're promised. That's in the word. But he says, this is what the Lord says to the house of Israel. Seek me and live. You know, it's one thing to exist in this life. It's another thing to live a life that's free, that's boundless, that's just awesome. But you only get that through the Lord. That's why he can command this. Seek me and live. Because it's the truth. If we take the time to reflect on things that the Lord has brought us through. Just the fact that he took us from near-death experiences last night to wake us up this morning.
60 seconds.
Literally, he did that. And I'm thankful. That's why I thank the Lord when I get up in the morning for a brand new day, for brand new opportunities. Because you're giving me another shot to get it right today. And I'm so thankful. So he says, seek me and live. And then he says, do not seek Bethel. Do not go to Gilgal. Do not journey to Beersheba, for Gilgal will surely go into exile, and Bethel will be reduced to nothing. Verse 6 says again, seek the Lord and live. And then it goes on to say, or he will sweep through the house of Joseph like a fire. It will devour. And Bethel will have no one to quench it. You who turn justice into bitterness and cast righteousness to the ground. He who made the Pleiades and Orion is talking about stars, you know, constellations that are in the sky that only God made, not from the Big Bang. God made that. And it says, who turns blackness into dawn and darkens day into night, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out over the face of the land. The Lord is his name. We need to understand that all that we need is wrapped up in the Lord. The Lord will direct you. If we just take the time to trust in the Lord, to accept his direction, he will lead us on the path of righteousness. But we have to do our part because the Lord has already done his part. Let's look at verse 24. Look down at verse 24. Amos 5:24. This is listed as the key verse. And it says, but let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. Those are two things that you can find in pure form only in the Lord. Justice is a way of laws and rules where everyone gets exactly what they deserve. And righteousness, actually living the way that you're supposed to according to the Lord's word, his will, and his way. You only get those two things in pure form in the Lord. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. As followers of Christ, as Christians, it's our jobs, first and foremost, to recognize who we work for, who we have our being in, who sustains our very lives. If you don't want to do that, just break it all the way down and say, you know what? Who first loved me and knew me before I was formed in the womb? See, the Lord goes way, 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 way back with you. And take it personal, because sometimes we don't. But we need to seek the Lord and live. Now, for us who are saved, we're already going to live eternally with the Lord, but this is present tense. Seek the Lord and live. Day by day, I have to go to the Lord and say, hey, what is it you want me to do in this situation? Lord, help me. Sometimes that is a prayer for me sometimes. Lord, help me. And he will talk to me, and I'm so thankful that Pastor O shared this. He says, the closer you get to the Lord, the more you'll hear from him. It'll be like Adam when he would walk and talk with the Lord in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden. I can't, my job is not going to allow me to live. My money will not sustain my life. Only the Lord can do that. But I have the Lord. I've had the Lord in my heart and life since I was 10. I'm 46 now. That's a long time to be walking and talking. So I should know better and do better. And I'm working on it. He's working with me, and I'm so thankful for his unconditional love. But because I'm saved, we have a relationship. If you're not saved, you're out of relationship with the one living true God who even sustains your life as we speak. I beg you at this point, because I see the clock ticking every day. Time ain't long. I beg you at this point to get saved. And it's so simple. The Lord made it simple for the sheep. He said, listen, all you have to do is believe that Jesus lived, and he died on the cross to pay for all of your sins, and he rose from the dead with all power. That's the first part. Just to believe that. Jesus walked the earth. You can read the Bible. You can read history books that mention Jesus and his death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave. People saw it. People recorded all about Jesus. If you believe that, I just want you to pray this prayer with me. Just repeat after me and say, Lord Jesus, I am an admitted sinner. I believe that you died on the cross and that you rose from the grave to pay for all of my sins, past, present, and future. I invite you to come into my heart and life so that I can spend eternity with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, brother, sister, if you believed and you prayed that prayer, then you're saved. All you have to do is get into a good Bible-based church and read the word for yourself. Study the word for yourself so that you can see what I'm talking about in terms of drawing closer to the Lord. Seek the Lord and live. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word today. Lord, we thank you for taking the time to break that down for us and with us so that we can live this word and we can share it freely. We don't all have to be preachers or teachers or deacons or deaconesses to preach your word or to share your word. Help us to do it freely, even if it's through text message, email, in person, FaceTime, reading the word together. Help us to be serious about seeking you and living. We say thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Dear Father, yeah, I know you see me.
I cannot hide, you know what I have done. Yet you decided to love me anyway. No, I cannot lie. How do you see beyond my flaws? No, I don't know why you would save somebody like me.
What kind of love is this
that would claim a filthy rag?
What kind of love is this?
I can still see the good when it's all bad.
What kind of love is this
that would lay down his life just for me? None greater, none greater, none greater. No, there is no greater love.
Amazing grace.
I love that song, No Greater Love. Wow, you decided to love me anyway. Just listening to Pastor Jonathan when he talked about, you know, how it's important for us to read our word and to pray, because we do stray, you know, not necessarily anything personal to God. We're just humans, and we get distracted, and we get, you know, focused on things that are not really important. And listening to that song and listening to the sermon, it's like it's for no other reason to read God's word and to draw closer to him. He loved us first. He loved us first. He cared for us first enough to send his son to die for us, for everything too. Not just, you know, when we say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should never perish but have everlasting life. He died for our sins. Jesus died for our sins. Like, not just the ones we're going to do today, not just the ones that we did this past week, but we're talking about the sins that we are going to be committing from here till the day we're gone from this earth. Because newsflash, we're going to sin every day until we leave here. Now, we may get better in some areas and struggle for life in other areas, and we may be able to overcome some things that we've been bound to or that have been bound to us for a really long time. But before we leave this earth, Jesus could not have shed enough blood to cover the multitude of sins that just as individuals commit on a daily basis. And so Jesus is worthy. God is worthy of all of the praise and all of the glory, and he is worthy of our time. He's worthy of us taking time to spend with him, to draw near to him so we can be led and guided by him. You know, seek the Lord and live. Seek the Lord and live. I would just, when it comes to the Bible, we all know that the Bible is a historical book made up of 66 other books. But I would never just want to read the Bible as just a book on the bookshelf. I never want to go to the library and say, hey, can I just check out that Bible and just read it like a magazine? And for people who are not saved and who don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't get any revelation. You don't get any illumination. No light bulbs come on. no conviction happens when you read the Bible as just a book on the shelf. So I really pray that those who or maybe not saved before they heard this message, chose to give their life to Christ today. Look, y'all know I get saved regularly. And obviously that's not necessary. That's just me being silly and say what I say because I know I'm a hot, raggedy mess. Okay, but you only need to get saved one time. Jesus don't keep dying on the cross for our sins. He died once for all. Okay, and that's for all people, and that's for all sins that will be committed for all people who believe in him. So I pray that if you are on the fence about, the world is like this, Jesus is a white man, none of that matters. What matters is where you're going to spend eternity because, like Pastor Jonathan Tate always says, and I keep saying, I'm going to get it on the T-shirt, time ain't long. Okay, if you pay attention to what's going on in the world, the clock is ticking. And it's ticking really, 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 really fast. Okay, so you need to make sure where you're going to go when you leave here. Okay, because eternity is a very, very, very long time. And you really don't want to find yourself on the wrong side of eternity. Amen? Amen. So that was my little sermon, mini sermon. Amen. Okay, so now let me do announcements, which is the job I'm supposed to be doing. Good morning, everybody. It's the first Saturday in August. What is it today? August 5th. Yep. Time again is marching on, but God is good, and we are so grateful. We're so thankful to everyone who listened this morning. We're so grateful for everyone who participated into the service up until this point, including myself. I'm grateful for myself. I'm grateful for the Blog Talk Radio platform that our voices and the teachings and the sermons and the classes and everything that we're doing here on Blog Talk Radio is getting into the nooks and crannies of the end of the earth, places where we can't go, people we can't see. It's getting there. So Running for Christ Ministries, we are small, but we are mighty, and we going to have some treasure in heaven, okay? Because Blog Talk Radio has allowed us the opportunity to get the word out to everyone. And if you are somewhere where there's nobody else there but you, but you got internet access, you can get this word. Amen. So we're so thankful for the Blog Talk Radio platform and the opportunity to be able to be on Blog Talk Radio and do what we're doing here, getting the word of God out. Amen. So just by way of a couple of announcements, tomorrow, Sunday, August 6th, we will have our Sunday school class that begins at 9 a.m. with our teacher, Assistant Pastor Janice Tate, and we will continue on with our praise team leading us in songs and in worship service. Hello, let me get it together. Pastor Janice Tate is teaching the Bible class, okay, Sunday school, all right? And then y'all know service starts at 10 o'clock. I'm trying to be formal. Class starts at 9, service starts at 10. Y'all know the praise team leads us in our songs and into our worship service. And Pastor O, if I'm not mistaken, is going to be bringing a word for tomorrow. Doesn't matter, like I said, who's preaching. Just come out to church. Amen. You're going to get some Bible class teaching. You're going to get some songs. You're going to get some announcements. You're going to get some word. And then you're going to get to go home. Amen. So that sounds like a great day to me. So just come on out. Bring somebody to enjoy worship service with us. Amen. So please don't forget that we are located at River Rouge High School in the LGI Auditorium. Amen. Every Tuesday at 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall is on Blog Talk Radio with his series, Training Day. So tune in to that. Every Wednesday at 6 p.m., you know, we have our Bible class, our new Bible class, which is in full swing. It's here on Blog Talk Radio at 6 p.m. You need a textbook for the class if you want to participate. So go to the church website, rfcm.org, to purchase the book. I do believe that there's going to be a transition of class after a while because I think this one that we're in was like a three-month thing, but I do believe that there's like a next level to that. So just be mindful of when I'm mentioning these announcements, especially about our classes. Okay, so again, if you need the book, get in the class with the book. Go to rfcm.org and you can purchase the book for the class. Again, the classes are every Wednesday at 6 p.m. The questions are at the end of every chapter for discussion. And this week, Naomi Carter will be teaching Forgiving One Another. And, man, that's the lesson, and that's the lesson we all need to learn, because forgiveness is an action word. It is something that constantly has to happen, even if you're just forgiving that same person over and over and over again. Amen. So make sure to tune in this Wednesday for the lesson taught by Naomi Carter, Forgiving One Another. Amen. Every Friday at 7 p.m., Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is on Blog Talk Radio with Bring Back the Family. Please join in on the discussion that's happening about our children and comment. Amen. Talk about it. Amen. Our kids need us, and we need to sometimes, look, it takes a village to raise not just your child, but everybody's kid, okay? And so we have to, sometimes you got to talk things out to make it make sense and open up yourself to other opinions and other ways and other resources and other opportunities to make things easier for you raising your children. But you also have things to offer as far as how you raise your children that can make it easy for someone else to raise theirs. And again, because this is on the Blog Talk Radio platform, parents everywhere can tune into these classes and services and talks that we're having. And you never know who you're helping by participating. Amen. Amen. Remember, again, that all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free. Don't forget to check out our church website, rfcm.org, and make sure to share it with others. Classes, services, jobs, books, resources, and more, again, available to all of you and those who you share it with for free. Amen. If you'd like to pay your tithes or give any offerings, again, church website, rfcm.org, is the place to go. If you want to give a love offering for Pastor Jonathan Tate, who brought the word to us today, please go to our church website. Make sure to click on the tithes and offerings tab, and remember to specify Pastor Jonathan Tate's name, and we will see to it that he receives it. Amen. The Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness in sharing with us and with him. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verses 16 to 18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Amen. And so we know when you put God first, when you seek the Lord first, you know, when you pray first, over time, you will find yourself praying continually. Amen. And so we always ask that you pray for everyone, everywhere, all of the time. Pray for those who are sick and shut in, hospitalized, incarcerated. Pray for one another personally and, of course, for yourself. Don't leave yourself out. Our schools, our kids, doctors, medical professionals, our nation, our world, our leaders, as they're constantly facing major decisions that affect us all. Those who are missing, those who are exploited, those who are being trafficked and abused. We definitely need to pray for those who have mental illness and mental health situation. There's a lot. You got people who are mentally ill and don't know it and need meds. You got people who are mentally ill, know it, can't get their meds. You got people who are mentally ill and don't want to take their meds. So, and then we got people who just need help, okay? So we really, really, really need to be praying for one another. Please don't forget to pray for all of our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world. And again, so much more. We know the list of things to pray for is inexhaustible, but if you seek the Lord, he will answer your prayers. He hears you. He hears us. He created us. Like Pastor Jonathan said, we are not some Big Bang creation, okay? And Pastor O said, and it was so pivotal, and it wasn't anything that I hadn't heard before, that we at Run for Christ haven't heard before, even you on Blog Talk Radio haven't heard before. But when he preached a couple Sundays ago, he said, anything that's not connected to God is dead. And so when I think about the trees that you can, you know, the storms that we've had over the last couple of weeks, and you see all of these trees and tree limbs and leaves and branches that are disconnected from the root of the tree, they are brown, dead, done. Anything that's not connected to Christ is dead. Amen. So we just need to make sure that we are praying and lifting up our concerns to the Lord so that we can continue to have life in our situations, in our circumstances. It's not always a physical death that happens when you're disconnected from God, but it is the death of a whole lot of other things that you have not brought to the Lord and allowed him to infuse himself in your circumstances. Amen. So, again, just continue to pray for everyone, everywhere, all of the time. You do not have to fix the world's problem. It's not for us to do, but we do have a responsibility as Christians to take things to the Lord. Amen? Amen. So we do ask that you continue to pray for Mary Tate's sister, who is going through chemo. Please continue to pray for Doris Gaither, Nakia Gaither, all of our mothers on the move at Runner for Christ Ministries, Mother Persia, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Cheryl. Pray for Deaconess Nicole Seabrook that she's taking her radiation treatment. Continue to pray for Pastor Terrence Tate as well as Deacon Charles Tate, Miko Gaston, Sharon Abraham, Darius and his mom Keela. I believe Keela's going to be having surgery this month. Ann Johnson and Deaconess Rebecca, Elder Joseph Stevens and his wife Cheryl and his family, Deaconess Lisa Thornton, all of our caregivers, again, nurses, doctors, and those that serve in the medical field, all of our teachers, staff, students, and administrators, security, whoever, parking lot attendants, look, the parents that stand on the corner, the crossing guards that make sure your kids get across the street. Anybody and everybody that has anything to do with making sure that our kids are safe during this school year, okay, because school has started for some kids in some states. Michigan, we start the day after Labor Day, so we got time to pray, okay, for God to, for heaven to just be full of our prayers for our kids to have safe and healthy school year, not only just for our little preschool babies, but for those who are sending their kids away for their next semester, next school year of college. Whether you're a freshman or a senior or a grad student, it doesn't matter. So we're lifting all of them up in prayer. Again, continue to pray for all of the leaders in our communities, from the local communities that we have all the way up to Washington, our president and our vice president. We have to pray for those who have the rule over us. Amen. Continue to pray for your pastor, your pastor. We got Pastor O and Pastor Jonathan and Pastor Janice and Pastor Sarah. And, you know, we got them covered on the Run for Christ Ministry level. But if you're listening and you're not a Run for Christ Ministry member, you need to pray for your shepherd. People think, oh, you're a pastor, like you, everything is good, you good, like you, they like they live in bubbles separate from the rest of us. Nope. If anything, they got attacks coming. They have a target on their front, back, side, from the head to the toe, from the root to the tutor, okay? targets, okay? Because they are the ones who stand in the gap for us, okay? So we need to remember to pray for our pastors and our shepherds, you know, who are leading us. So we need to follow them as they follow Christ, and so we need to continue to pray for our leadership. Pastor Jonathan talked about the mega churches and, you know, all this stuff. I'm so glad Run for Christ is not a ministries is not a mega church. Amen. We're small, but we're mighty. And so we need to continue to pray for our pastors and our leaders in our churches. Amen. And so they're shepherds over us, and we need to make sure to keep them in prayer. Amen. We also don't want to forget to pray for all those who are grieving and mourning in the loss of their friends or their loved ones. That's happening constantly, and people are being traumatized and left with hurt and left with despair and left with no hope. And so we have to mourn with those who mourn, but we cannot mourn as those who have no hope. Amen. And so when you're in Christ and you believe Christ, you believe that your family members are going to be people who you see again when your time here is up. But, again, if you don't belong to Christ, you don't get that benefit. So just remember to keep everyone lifted up in prayer, especially those who have lost friends and loved ones. Amen? Amen. So on a lighter note, it's a new month. It's the month of August. So happy birthday to all of the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated maybe in this past week. I think August 1st was on a Tuesday. So we only have a small amount, really, of birthdays this month. So we've got Deaconess Danielle Mackey. She's celebrating on the 17th of this month. I can say my mom's name, Mother Louisa, because she would have celebrated her birthday on August the 19th, but she's in heaven now, and she's still going to have a birthday, okay? Because if I know her like I know her, it's still going to be a celebratory time. Amen. And then we want to say happy birthday to Robin, who is going to be celebrating her birthday on the 25th of this month. So we just have a couple, but happy birthday to each and every one of you and to all of you Blog Talk Radio listeners who will be celebrating. Amen. And last but not least is your devotional. And it is entitled, How to Be a Show-and-Tell Christian. How to Be a Show-and-Tell Christian. Now, we all remember show-and-tell from elementary school. We would always pick the best thing to take to school, to show to somebody, and tell them all about it. Amen. So as Christians, you already know who we should be showing and who we should be telling people about. Amen? Jesus. And just in case you didn't know the answer. Amen. And so this devotional is by Pastor Rick Warren. Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, I had gave y'all the answer before that, but that's the real answer that comes from Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, just in case you thought I made that up. Amen. God has put specific people in your life for a reason. You are God's representative to them. If you don't tell them about God's love and offer of salvation, then who will? God puts you in your unique circumstances to share the gospel with your relatives, your friends, your neighbors, and your coworkers. They need to hear that God has a purpose for them and wants them to be part of his family. But he's not going to write it in the sky for them. He's not going to send them a telegram. He's already sent you. He wants you to learn to be more like him so you can show others what it's like, what he's like, excuse me, forgiving, compassionate, patient, and faithful. And that's just really to name a few. The Bible is very clear about this. Do all you can to live a peaceful life. Take care of your own business and do your own work. If you do, then people who are not believers will respect you. Amen. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 through 12. We need Christians who walk the walk and talk the talk. You've heard that cliche before, but it really is just that simple. Faithful Christians don't just say what they believe. They try to live so that others see the hope and joy that comes from knowing Jesus. They are, again, show-and-tell Christians. They tell the gospel with their mouths, and they show the gospel with their lives. Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, that is Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. The most dangerous prayer you could pray, two words, use me, use me. I dare you to pray it. I dare you to pray, God, use me. Use me to show your love to people who don't know that you love them. Use me to show your purpose to people who don't know that you have a purpose for their lives. That kind of prayer can change the world, but the change starts in our communities and with the people that we know and love. They won't know unless we show them, so be a show and tell Christian. Amen? Amen. Those are your announcements, several mini sermons. I guess I feel like I'm probably going to be promoted now. There's no telling. I don't know what's going on. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yes, there is a promotion on the way on the docket. We got to go ahead and get that scheduled
up.
Not
sure what's
going
on.
Won't stop preaching. My pastor used to say, pastor used to tell people, you're going to get arrested for preaching without a license.
Seriously. Take me to
you know,
okay?
There was a man, and his name was Dominic of Guzman. And, or either it was Ignatius Loyola, one of them that created the Jesuits or the Dominicans. And that's what got him in trouble. See, he was Catholic, and unless you had been ordained or authorized by the church to preach, they would literally throw you in jail. And he was locked up for about 7 months, got out and went to school, and then he got ordained, and then he could preach legally. And, okay, so we're going to have to get you licensed before Dominic's oppressors show up and say, yes, we need to see your license. Yeah, well, you're doing good, and millions of people are getting saved, but we're going to have to see that license.
Really? Take me to jail. Look, just don't put the cuffs too tight, okay?
Right, exactly. You know what I'm saying? Wow.
Oh, heavens.
Thank you, Crystal.
You're
it's
welcome.
Been awesome. It's been an awesome,
awesome.
Day. Yes,
awesome.
Indeed. I tell me, I say, what's up?
I sure will. I sure will. Amen.
Stay blessed, my sister. Love you.
Okay. Love you, too.
Amen. Okay, what am I doing? Okay, yeah, well, where am I? Okay, there we go. All right. Amen. I want to thank Pastor Jonathan Tate for delving down deep into that word. And yes, Amos, like, wait a minute, who is that? Jesus, is that you? Yeah, I need you to stop shepherding for a little while. I need you to go over here and tell these folks something. They're going to be like, well, ain't that old Amos? When he started prophesying. Amen. Anytime the Lord pick you to go and warn his people and see, as you heard Crystal say, Jonathan always says, time ain't that long. That means that Jesus is on his way back to get us. And when you hear messages like this that remind us that we are Christian and we have an obligation to a God to please, like the folks you say in the Baptist church, I got a God to glorify. We have a God to glorify. Now, Jesus taught us how to do that. Uh-oh, Crystal, now I'm preaching. It's your fault and Jonathan. But anyway, Jesus said over in John chapter 17, around verse 4, he said, Father, restore unto me the glory I had with you before the world was. Then he said, I have brought you glory on earth. Guess how he did it? By doing the work that you sent me to do. So Amos gave a message to the people to get themselves ready. All you have to do is turn back to God, and God will turn toward you. Well, actually, you turn back to God. He never turned from you. You turned from him, and all we have to do is turn back. Powerful word. One thing, Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, for getting together the folks like Rebecca to do an altar call and Mother Irma to give us the proclamation, scripture, and prayer. And for all of you who tune in and make this, amen, this Saturday morning worship service happen. And the reason I say that is because if you wouldn't hear, we'd have to shut it down. But because you're here and you hear every Saturday, we thank the Lord for you, and Jesus sees, Jesus knows, and you heard Crystal mention treasure in heaven. That is what we're working for, y'all. We're going to be there forever. We're only here temporarily. So don't put your all in the here. You know, I got to go somewhere. I got to do something. I got to have something. I'm trying to be somebody. You're going to be like that man over in Luke 12. An angel going to show up in your room one night and say it's time to go, but you ain't ready. Because you ain't did nothing for the Lord. Amen. But as long as you're saved, you'll be all right. You'll be standing over there in the corner not doing very much. But amen. Praise the Lord. You are here. Amen. Amen. So we thank God for each and every one of you again. And we pray that you meet us tomorrow, as Crystal already told you, 10 o'clock for our worship service, 9 o'clock for our awesome church school. Want to thank Pastor, Assistant Pastor Janice Tate. Awesome teaching. I mean, really awesome teaching. Let me tell you something. You have to delve down deep to get the kind of information that the Lord gets. See, when you invest yourself, Jesus will invest in you. Amen. And we learned some interesting facts today. So if you and all these shows, as Crystal said, are recorded and archived. Amen. So go check them out a million times. We won't charge you. Promise we won't. Amen. We won't even know. Well, we'll know because I get the numbers. But anyway, amen. So let us now go into this benediction. And come on out tomorrow. I'm going to talk about something. If the Lord willing, he wake me up tomorrow and we still here and I ain't crazy or too crazy to go. Talking about being properly aligned with God. And a lot of Christians are not aligned with the Lord. You know what? They are aligned with themselves and what they think. But the only way, there's a way that you can find out if you are properly aligned with God in your personal, family, church, and civic life. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. You want to make sure that you are where God puts you so that you can get what the Lord has for you. Amen? Amen. So come on out tomorrow and see if you're properly aligned. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And the whole church said, amen. Now, y'all know me. I love Christian rap. This is Brian T. You got to check him out. His whole family raps. And I think I saw that video that Pastor Jonathan Tate saw about all these filthy rich mega church pastors. Amen. You might want to check that out. Your pastor, your favorite pastor might be in there. Amen. Hey, amen. He might be in that filthy rich bunch. Filthy. Amen. Okay, this is Brian T. This guy, his wife, his children, got to be, what, 8 years old? They're all rappers. Okay, so check him out. Check out some of his tunes. You'll like it. I love Christian rap because it speaks to how we live a Christian life, but I especially love this one because it's simply Welcome to the Church House.
Hey, welcome to the church house. Hey, welcome to the church house. Hey, welcome to the church house. Hey, welcome to the church house. Welcome to the church house. Welcome to the church house.
I can feel it in my soul when I'm walking in. Open up, I've been knocking, don't you want a man? He took the punishment of man, he let it fall on him. He gives eternal life to everyone who calls
on him. Welcome to the church house. God could take your hurt out. Let him take your dirt out. Everything gon' work out. Why you asking questions, baby? Blessings stacked on blessings, baby. I'ma give my best to the day. Got checked all of my breath, though, baby. I'm with all my Houston brothers. It's my kingdom music, brother. God placed you in leadership. You better not go abuse it, brother. Celebrate the next man. When you do, make sure your motives are pure. If you can't celebrate the next man, boy, you never get yours. Hey, hop out of traffic. You can have it if it's time to go. I cast that devil out. You hater, what you hiding for? If you ain't rhyming for the kingdom, why you rhyming then? That cat rap, you just lying then. But step aside and look like a
welcome to the church house. Hey, welcome to the church house. Hey, welcome to the church house. Hey, welcome to the church house. Welcome to the church house. Welcome to the church house.
I can feel it in my soul when I'm walking in. Open up, I've been knocking, don't you want a man? You took the punishment of man, he let it fall on him. He gives eternal life to everyone who calls on him.
I feel it in my bones while approaching the throne. Head and feet is where I've grown, never marching alone. I'm a soldier, scripture quoting, Bible toting, Jesus promoting, disciple coaching. My whole demeanor was hopeless, but now I'm a leader focused. Might as well be eating honey and locusts. Rocking camel skin the way I preach and repent. The kingdom of God's at hand, baptizing family and friends. Even dunk some former enemies in the water. My way's clearly pleasing the Father. I'm talking Proverbs 16:7. Some call me pastor, others know me as their street reverend. Been loving Christ since I was at least 7. Ran like the prodigal, but his pa gave me new life, no
C-section. Hey, welcome to the church house. 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 Welcome to the church house. Welcome to the church house.
I can feel it in my soul when I'm walking in. Open up, I've been knocking, don't you want a man? You took the punishment of man, he let it fall on him.
He gives eternal life to everyone who calls on him.
Look what God did in my life. I'm a walking testimony. I be shedding tears of joy because he blew his breath upon me. Ministry get busy, but I'm staying at your feet. I'm trusting in your will. I know you want the best for me. I'm bearing fruit till he pruned the branch. And I bear some more while I spirit dance. Put my life up in his hands and abide in you. This God's plan. Soldier walking with generals on front line. We fighting. My mind right, my heart pure. That oil flowing inside me. And yeah, my faith get tested still, but I know it's alright. That gon' give my God a chance to show out in my life. When you at the bottom, ain't nowhere to look but up. And we gon' give him glory. Hey, yo, welcome to the church.
Welcome to the church house.
Hey, welcome to the church house. Hey, welcome to the church house. Hey, welcome to the church house. Welcome to the church house. Welcome to the church house.
I can feel it in my soul when I'm walking in. Open up, I've been knocking, don't you want a man? You took the punishment of man, he let it fall on him.
He gives eternal life to everyone who calls on him.
Yeah, welcome to the church, we got open arms, you can take a seat.
You good right here.
This is where it's love, spiritually it's good, you can feel the peace.
Feel it.
Gave his only son, put him on the cross, just for you and me.
You and me.
Think about his great sight, shed his blood for every human being.
Come on.
I know you won't heal it, life is trouble, you're sick of the pain.
Pain.
Come here, let me take you to Jesus, I promise you, he make you whole again.
Yeah.
The choice is free indeed, and he believes in open doors. He give you eternal life, take away your eternal scars. Disciples walk with you, you become part of the body. Shoulders to lean on, keep you encouraged on this journey. If you hungry, we'll feed you. This is daily bread, the living water, you never thirst again.
Hey, welcome to the church house. 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 Welcome to the church house. Welcome to the church house.
I can feel it in my soul when I'm walking in. Open up, I've been knocking, don't you want a man? He took the punishment of many, let it fall on him. He gives eternal life to everyone who calls on him.